So beautiful.
Sound of our chanting and the sounds of trucks. Some of us right now might be in our own little minds. Some of us might be here. And maybe we go back and forth. But how will we show up now in this time? Always possible to show up in this time. Someone recently said to me that, oh, I don't like, you know, this is, we're headed into the dark times or the scary times. And I said, this is our time. All of our time. And how will we each participate in our time? As far as I know, it's not someone else's time. Who owns time? Antonio Machado said, "The wind one brilliant day called to my soul with the odor of jasmine. In return for the odor of my jasmine, I'd like all the odor of your roses. I have no roses. All the flowers in my garden are dead. Well then, I'll take the withered petals and the yellow leaves and the waters of your fountain." The wind left, and I wept. I said to myself, "What have you done with the garden that was entrusted to you?" What do we do with the life that has been given to us? How will we participate in this life? Last night I was in a plane heading back from Houston, and they let us know early on in the flight, actually before we even took off, that there would be turbulence the entire flight. For over 3 hours, we were like this in the sky. You couldn't even have anything out because it would just go, why? And there was the most beautiful couple next to me, probably in their 70s. Like very New York couple, and they were like, "Oh God, oh God, oh God," the entire time. But it was so beautiful watching them, like holding each other the entire flight, kissing each other, and oh God. One approach. But what happens when we're caught by anxiety and fear? It was scary. And they kept going faster. What do we do when we're afraid? What do you do when you're afraid? In the practice period that we're having now, there's a, today's reflection was from the Platform Sutra, and it said, "The fifth patriarch said, 'This verse you wrote shows that you have not reached true understanding.' You have merely arrived at the front of the gate, but have yet to be able to enter it. If common people practice according to your verse, they will not fall. But in seeking the ultimate awakening, one will not succeed with this understanding. You must enter the gate and see your own original nature. How so many of us are so caught in external and internal objects and thinking they're not you. Thinking that siren isn't you. Thinking anything is not you. Very often, you know, at a certain stage in our practice, we'll think that it's, you know, external. Even like we'll think that, wow, you know, if I just sit enough, then that will do something for me. As if it's something for you. So the verse that the fifth patriarch is talking about is really a verse that kind of talks about things outside. Or as Miss Janet Jackson said, what have you done for me lately? Like, you know, that we think of that like our practice, right? What is my practice doing for me? What's my teacher doing for me? What's my community doing for me? What's my president doing for me? It goes on and on and on and on. And this is, as we've been studying, the ox herding pictures, but the fourth stage of catching the ox, grasping its horns. Ah, my mind. And it takes extraordinary effort, as the poem says, to seize the ox, to seize your mind. It takes a lot of effort. It's not a willy-nilly kind of thing. The poem says, through extraordinary effort, you seize the ox. Still, it is will. Its will is forceful, and its body spirited. Sometimes it runs high into the mountains. Other times it disappears into the mist. So it's like that moment that we seize it, and we're like, ah, okay. And then it goes off somewhere else. This happens so often in practice. In particular, this stage of practice. Where we see it outside of ourselves. And it's really often, you know, very often it'll happen after people make some kind of commitment And it's interesting that we're in a commit to sit period, practice period. And this happens when people take Jukai or become formal students or make any kind of commitment. And then they haven't really had a conversation with the committee. And so they make a commitment, and then, but the committee is not pleased. And so the committee says, we're out of here. The committees are old, oldie, timey conditioning. It was like, I don't want any of this. I don't actually want to change. We want to stay. We want what we want. They're very sweet, the committee. They usually have the same things to say over and over. But they have to be brought into the relationship. And to me, this part of like seizing the ox is that scares the shit out of the committee. When you start to see, you get a glimpse of like, wow, I could be really part of this world. I could really have a seat in this world. Which to me is actually what the practice is about. Completely having a seat in this world. Fully participating. Freely. But for the committee, that's like terrifying. This is so much like this stage of the ox. So seizing the ox is not always fun. It usually comes up around Sangha. People are like, I don't really want to belong because the committee doesn't feel like it belongs anywhere. And we can, you know, I've had the experience myself where, you know, belonging to a community, I was kind of a bit inflated in the beginning because I felt like, well, I have a much, you know, I don't really need other people because I'm, you know, kind of beyond that. Or usually it's just the opposite of like, oh, I'm not worthy. I've never belonged. I never will belong. It's the same thing. I don't need anyone, or I'm too good for everybody. It's the same kind of thing. Or I've been hurt. So all of that needs a lot of care. Maybe even tenderness and love. The committee just needs tenderness and love and to be included. Dogen, the founder of our school, died about 763 years ago. A little while ago. Was so inspired by this practice that he was really on a search to find his true teacher. And he wrote this to Master Rujing, who became his teacher. He wrote to him before he even met him. He heard about this guy from a cook. He said, "When I was young, I aroused the aspiration for enlightenment and visited various monasteries in my country, in Japan. I had some understanding of the principle of cause and effect. However, I was not able to clarify the real source of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I was only seeing the outer forms and the marks and the names. Later, I entered the chamber of Isai, Zen Master Senko, for the first time and heard the teaching of the Linji school. Now I have accompanied Monk Myozen to the flourishing kingdom of Song China. After a voyage of many miles, during which I entrusted my phantom body to the billowing waves, I finally arrived and entered your Dharma assembly. This is the fortunate result of my wholesome roots from the past." Imagine getting that letter. Imagine being that determined. Not a kind of sometimes thing, right? Dogen wasn't really a sometimes kind of person. I imagine him in deep dialogue with the committee. But I love that he, you know, he's so plain about, like, at this point in my life, I'm just seeing things as outer things. Practicing for a long time at this point, and still just seeing things externally. Outer forms and marks and names. Even Dogen. And he traveled across the sea. Which was a big deal in that day. So he said to his teacher, "Great compassionate teacher, even though I am only a humble person from a remote country, I am asking permission to be a room-entering student, able to come and ask questions freely and informally. Impermanent and swift, birth and death is an issue of utmost urgency. Time does not wait for us, in case you thought it did. Once a moment is gone, it will never come back again, and we are bound to be full of regret. This is the same Dogen who would write the Evening Gatha later. Great, compassionate, reverend abbot, grant me permission to ask you about the way, about the Dharma. Please, I bow to you 100 times with my forehead humbly touching the floor. Rujing wrote back to him and said, "Yes, you can come informally to ask questions any time, day or night, from now on. Do not worry about formality. We can be like father and son." And he signed it "Old Man at Mount Taibo." But to me, this is the movement, like from this kind of seizing the horns of this ox of our mind and knowing that it will kind of meander and go somewhere else. Our conditioning will come in and we'll say, "Oh, screw sitting, you know." forget to sit, not be into it. And to me, it also points to like that Dogen also experienced this, and what he found is that he needed to find his people, the person that he would resonate with, in order to actually open more and more. To understand what the source, what is the source of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha? What's the source? That's what his question was, what's the source? What's the source of awakening, of the teachings, of community? Such a wonderful question that each of us have to respond to. How do you learn how to trust yourself? Not just the committee, but trusting your own wisdom and compassion. To be playful, joyful like a dragon coming up out of the swamp, beating its chest and playing in the clouds. What will you do with your garden, with your dragon, with your life that is running out? Let's practice together.